you know, it was a journey into the unknown, as it were, because we're... I'll say that again.
See? Okay.
Sorry, I just got the tune in my... It's gonna go my way.
I've got no idea who that was supposed to be, but never mind.
Neither have I. I think I'm caught between James Brown and Aerosmith there.
I was actually thinking that you were talking about Lenny Kravitz, but there you go.
That's who it was. I knew it was somebody.
Yet again, one of the worst impersonations you've ever heard in your life.
Well, it wasn't meant to be an impersonation, but...
Right, okay. Right, on you go. Get absolutely crucified for it, and that's 2-0 to Aberdeen, bastards. Sorry, Derek, for saying that. You'll have to edit that out. Sorry, mate. We'll say.
There was no any... what's the word? Forgot the word.
Penetration?
Don't you talk to me about that.
Yeah, that got your attention.
The helicopter in two new directions. Manchester, brace yourself.
Hi folks, and welcome to Season 5, Episode 1 of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave.
Good evening, Derek. How are you?
I'm very good. How's yourself?
Not too bad, Derek. We've had a couple of weeks to sort of calm down slightly, just with everything that's been happening, but we'll get into that very shortly, I'm sure.
Calm down? You fucked off the Blackpool.
I know. Thank God.
Just, do you know this is a special podcast today as well? Not only is it the first episode of Season 5, yes, we've been going for this is our fifth year.
Five seasons, my God.
Is also our 50th ever episode.
Quality! 50th. We should have had some sort of celebration for that, mate. Well, we'll see if we can get a mug made up or something like that, and we can have a cup of tea or something, just to say 50 episodes in. But no, that's sad. No ideas.
A mug? I think beer mugs bloody support
exactly.
Rangers sometimes.
Aye, I know. Tell me about it, mate. But I'm sure our band of loyal listeners out there will be thinking exactly the same. So
all three of them.
Exactly.
Just a wee bit of housekeeping first, because we did get pulled up about it before. We do have a new website. If you go to iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com, and you'll see it all in its glory there. Nothing special. It's just a rundown of podcast by podcast, what games we cover, what classic match we do, our previous old features, and just in tow with that. It's no all bells and whistles. It's just a basic thing, just to, because the last one I made was a wee bit too labour intensive, having to update it every day, and it was a pain in the arse. So
I think you're giving yourself a bit of an injustice there, Derek. I was very impressed when I went, and I'd like to say, as usual with this podcast, it's had absolutely no input from me whatsoever. Just like everything else, this podcast, it's all down to Derek's hard work. So no, you're doing yourself an injustice there, mate. I was very impressed with it when I looked at it, and I'll give you my bio to put on it, just that you can add that in. Just our new sort of followers and that can have a wee look at that. But no, it's really, really impressive and well done, mate.
Thank you. Shucks.
Exactly.
We also, as ever, we have our Twitter handle, which is at iReadyPod. You can contact us well at via email, if people even use that these days, which is iReadyPod@hotmail.com. Our Facebook account is facebook.com/iReadyPod as well.
Excellent, yes.
So that's out of the way. We'll do it at the end of the podcast as well.
Exactly, yep. That's the best thing to do.
So, dare we do it, but we go down the tunnel and onto the park.
So what... What game are you starting with, Derek? Are you starting with any of the pre-season friendlies, or are you going to go straight into the horror show?
Well, I'll go straight into what has now become the horror show. Thursday the 29th of June, it was Rangers aggress against Progre Nidekon. We won 1-0, and that was in the Europa League qualifier, round one, leg one. We lined up Fotheringham, Tavernier, Bates, Cardoso, Wallace, Jack, Miller, Holt, Cranchar, even, Dalcio and Wycorn. On the subs bench, we had Anik, Bierman, McCrory, Rossiter, Windass, Candias and Morelos. Full of expectations this game. It was our first game back in Europe in 6 years. It was a long awaited and the expectations were certainly high.
Full house, Derek. Complete sellout. Fans were really looking forward to it. And we thought we would go out and with the, you know, the fans totally behind the team, and the fans have been fantastic, I'd like to add. I think we all thought it was going to be a bit of a stroll in the park, really, considering the opposition we were playing. Full house at Ibrox, it would be too much for them, but it turned out to be a bit of a struggle, didn't it?
Yeah. Just at the start, there was another good card display from the Union Bears in the Broomlin stand. And Dave King came out at the start and gave a very good speech. And basically, as well, kind of reminding the fans just to watch what you do, because everybody's watching us and we always get picked up. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into it, but what do people do? Fling paper onto the park.
Yep, stupid, Derek. Absolutely stupid. Just like what the chairman had said, he didn't want us to bring any undue attention to ourselves. And I know it was just pieces of paper and that, Derek, but it still is seen as, you know, the fans throwing missiles and stuff onto the pitch. It was really a stupid thing to do. I don't know what your take on it is, Derek. It would be exactly the same as mine, I think. It's just, you know, why do it? Really, idiots that are doing these things and totally unnecessary.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that when it actually happens in the game. But basically, in the first 15 minutes, it was good patient play, some good link-ups, getting forward but not finding the gaps in the box, good defending as well. Cranchar playing some great balls from midfield, and Dalcio was roaming about both wings, kind of looking quite menacing but without doing too much.
Yes, aye, that was the thing. Cranchar definitely the standout in the first half, Derek. As you say, some of his passing was fantastic, getting into space and, you know, playing out to the wings. Just exactly what you said there, Dalcio did look menacing, you know, when he was running with the ball, but not really getting anywhere, if you know what I mean. He was going down the wing, getting dispossessed. I think that was the sort of story of the two games, but as I say, you'll get into that as well. But Cranchard definitely the standout for me in the first half.
Yep. Good link up play in the 15th minute between Miller and Wallace. Gets the ball forward. Wycorn falls, was falling down. Lays it off to Cranchard, who hits a shot just wide of the left hand post. In the 17th minute, it was a free kick from 25 yards, floated into the box, and the keeper punches it out. 20th minute, Miller taking the ball forward, an amazing run, runs out of space, gets the ball to Dalcio, who hits a shot wide over the bar. 23rd minute, fantastic build-up play, trying to find the gap, played wide right by Miller to Tavernier, who plays the ball into Nico Cranchar, who is in the 6-yard box, and he just headers it wide. Good play all the same, that anyway.
Yep.
28th minute, corner whipped in right from the right, bounces in the middle of the box, Bates hits a shot from 10 yards but over the bar. He was under pressure from the defenders though. 31st minute, first shot from Progress, or Progre as they should be called, was going well wide, deflected shot, and Wes Fotheringham saved it going out for the corner. And on the 36th minute, we did score and go 1-0 up. It was a goal by Kenny Miller. Who else? Very quick and very smart, quick free kick by Nico Cranchar on the edge of the box on the right-hand side. Passed it to Miller, who was as switched on as Cranchar was. Ran onto the ball, got behind the Pro Grey players, hit the ball past the keeper into the back of the net. Fantastic worked goal.
Yep, it was really, you know, very quick thinking there by both players, by Cranchar and by Kenny Miller. Miller running off in a fantastic low shot into the bottom corner. Really, really, you know, decisive goal for Miller. Really, you know, accurate finishing, just sort of going from where he left off last season. Superb. And from there, you know, I thought we were really going to go out and score three or four after that, Derek.
Yep. 40th minute, this is when the paper incident happened. There was a game stoppage for 2 or 3 minutes because fans were throwing paper onto the park and there was too much of it there, and the referee decided to call a stoppage to the game to get it cleared. I mean, fans were throwing stuff at the keeper every time he came out to take a goal kick. And this, it just got too much, and the referee blew the whistle for the stoppage. Yeah. Kenny Miller even came over to try and help clear, and fans were still throwing stuff down. And quite rightly so, a lot of the stadium booed the fans that were still doing it. This has led us to be issued with a €7,000 fine by UEFA. It's just, as you said, it's exactly what Dave King was saying. Don't bring attention to yourself in a negative light, and that's all these idiots were doing.
Yeah.
Yes, it's only paper. It's not the biggest crime in the world, but at the end of the day, it's caused Rangers to be seen in a negative light.
And yes.
If these fans don't understand that we need to be whiter than white because it's always us to get picked up on, then there's nothing that's going to stop it. Because
exactly.
At the end of the day, we can't hold, you know, ourselves to a higher standard. If we can't hold ourselves to that kind of standard, then we've no right to criticise any other team for any of their misdemeanours. So
exactly. No, just really stupid, Derek. Immature. And you've really got to wonder, you know, what on earth are you trying to do? You know, what was the whole reason for doing it? You know, it's just absolutely stupid. But there you go.
42nd minute, Cranchar with a shot from 20 yards on the deck down the middle, saved by the keeper. It was a good effort. And just before half time, superb corner from the right by Cranchar, found the diving head of Cardoso on the edge of the 6-yard box on the left, heading into the bottom corner, but great save from the keeper. Two defenders were on the post, so they might have got it anyway, but it was a good effort anyway.
I thought I kind of cheered because I thought it was heading for the back of the net, but as you say, it was a great save. And again, I'll say it again, at that point, we were well on top, having a lot of chances, and we really just did think it was going to be the next goal. It's going to be the goal that's going to, you know, finish it all for them and, you know, start us, you know, the ball rolling for us. But I'll let you get in the second half.
I mean, even before the game kicked off, I mean, there was fans behind me. I was obviously at the game, and there was fans behind me saying, right, we need to win this by 5-0. And it's like, well, the expectations are so high right now. You can never say that. Yeah, we should be beating this team quite convincingly, but at the same time, they were an unknown quantity. We were a brand new team going into this as well. So, you know, the expectation, I thought, was just way off the level. But we should have been doing better, absolutely. Into the second half, 47th minute, great play from Wallace to Holt down the left, into Miller in the centre, and a shot just wide of the right-hand post. 53rd minute, it was a 30-yard shot from Prograte, which was way over the bar. 55th minute, it's a good save from Fotheringham. Ball played forward. Bates allowed the ball to bounce, which allowed the Prograte player to attack, to take the shot and force the save for the corner. 58th minute, Candias came on for Holt.
Candias. I take it you're just going to call him that from now on.
What's his name like?
Candias, I would say, rather than Candias.
Candias.
Well, you just like saying that, that's what it is.
Well, until, you know, he can prove himself he is a Candias right now, so... he came on for Holt in the 58th minute. On the 62nd minute, Cranchar with a long-range free kick into the box. Keeper comes out and punches it away. It was a good chance. 67th minute, Rossiter came on for Cranchar, which we got a great reception for. On the 71st minute, Candias shot after some good direct play by him, saved by the knees of the keeper. And the 75th minute, Morelos on for Waghorn. I was doing the review of this game after I watched the second leg, so I really got kind of pissed off and turned it off with 10 minutes to go. So I can't remember what happened in the last 10 minutes, but certainly nothing really noteworthy.
No.
You know, as we all kind of came out of the game thinking, well, you know, it was a 1-0 win. It's not 100% great, is it? It's, you know, we could have been doing with at least a two-goal cushion.
Yes.
But... you know, I was fairly content at that point. We came away with the win. We stopped them getting the away goal. Brand new team, first game back. You know, it's the first, you know, 90 minutes they've played together as a unit. So, you know, I'll take that just now. Little did we know.
Yeah, little did we know, Derek, because I was sort of half expecting a 1-1 draw. That's what I thought we were going to get over there. I thought, you know, it's going to be really quite cagey, but I still expected us to score into that team. And I know you're saying, Derek, there was a lot of expectation, but for teams like that, we should be scoring goals against them. But it was going to be another one of the nights, wasn't it? It was, you know, and I had a bad feeling after the sort of first... After the first sort of 20 minutes, I could see that there was nothing really going for us at all, and we weren't doing much. But I'll let you get into the summary of the second game anyway.
Just a quick wee point there. Just Wycorn was obviously playing for most of that game there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he tries, but he's an empty shirt, I think. It's a case of he's playing up front himself, more or less. Miller's dropping back into the centre. So yep. You've got a gap already there up front. Your major issue is trying to score goals, yet one of your main attackers is dropping back into midfield. You know, why not take, if you're needing that extra player in midfield, why not actually take Wycorn off, put a proper attacking mid in there, allow Miller to stay up front, and then at least you've got that proper backup rather than an empty shirt up front.
I felt, Derek, when Cranchar went off, that was when we lost all of our creativity in that first leg. And it was as if Kenny Miller knew that. So he sort of put himself back in there to try and create something for us because we were doing nothing. No slagging off Jordan Rossiter, but he's a defensive midfielder. He's not going to go and create loads of chances for us like what Cranchar was. And as you say, Kenny Miller was dropping back, whether or no he was told to do that or he was doing that off his own back, I don't know, to try and get the, you know, things rolling, but it just didn't work. I don't think the Cranchar's fully fit. If he had been, he would have stayed on for the whole game, but you could tell that he was toiling in the second half after running the show in the first half, and that basically took the foot off the gas for us as soon as he went off. As you say, the last 10 minutes of the game was, you know, a complete notion. You know, there was nothing happening in it whatsoever. But as I say, the second game was just an absolute shambles in my opinion. But I'll let you get into that.
Yes, we played a couple of days early because of obviously the previous mentioned stadium issues. Tuesday, the 4th of July, it was in the Luxembourg National Stadium. Europa League qualifier, round one, leg two. Dare I say it, we lost 2-0. We lined up Fotheringham, Tavernier, Cardoso, Bates, Wallace, Jack, Rossiter, Miller, Cranchar, Candias, Morales. And the subs bench, we had Anik, McCrory, Windass, Dalcio, Wycorn, Holt and Herrera.
Yep. Now, that lineup, Derek, a lot of the new players are playing. I think we were all really quite excited to see how they were all going to play. I don't know about you, I was excited about seeing Morelos playing. I thought, here's a guy that's, you know, already been playing a lot of league games. He's going to be well up for it. He's going to be well fit. And I was really quite looking forward to the game to start off with.
Yeah. It was more or less the same as, in fact, it was, you know, it was the first game was a game of two halves. We played fairly decently in the first half, second half. There was no urgency in the play whatsoever.
No, there
was no urgency in the whole game, this game.
No.
They seemed to be that they just turned up thinking they could turn up and, you know, they would instantly, you know, win the game. On the first minute anyway, we were looking forward to seeing him, but it looked as if Morelos had picked up a wee knock, but he appeared to be okay.
Yeah.
6 minute, it was a good corner in from Cranchar, good head on it, but the defender got to it. Another shot by Miller on the follow-up, but that was cleared away. On the 15th minute, Progress had a free kick 25 yards from the goal on the left-hand side. It went just by the post. On a minute later, Cranchar just over the bar from 18 yards. Wallace won the ball on the left wing. Possible foul, but got the ball across to Cranchar to have a shot. It wasn't a clean pass to him by any means. On the 20th minute, Morelos had a wee spat with a Progress player. Morelos motioned his head into the defender. Defender done the same. There was no cards given. The defender was quite either, so the referee was quite lenient with that one. But a piece of stupidity from Morelos, to be honest, because it could have quite easily been a red card for him.
Yes.
25th minute, Cranchar with a deep corner, but it was a shot well wide. 32nd minute, the Progress keeper had to go off with a groin injury. We thought there, you know, we're going to try and test the keeper now. That's when
exactly.
You should be pelting the keeper. but yep. we never had a shot on target for 30 minutes.
There should have been shots galore after that, Derek. Again, a problem that just still ongoing for the whole of last season. How many times before did we say it? No shots at all, foot side the box, incredible. And as you say, new goalkeeper on, we should have been testing him from the very minute that he came on. We should have been hitting high balls in there, hitting shots at him, but nothing, absolutely nothing.
Yep. It was in the 36th minute, good play by Candias to pick out Jack, but he couldn't get the ball to someone or he couldn't make a shot. The ball ended up falling to Rossiter, who had a shot a foot wide of the post. Last 10 minutes of the half, Progray started to come back into the game really without doing much, but we never done anything either.
No.
At half-time, Dalziel came on for Morelos. A minute later, it was an 18-yard shot by Progray. It forces a big save from Fotheringham out for the corner.
That's when the alarm bells started to ring for me, Derek, at that point. I was sitting watching the game with my wee boy. And I says to him at half-time, I says, surely we can't be, we have to play better and with more urgency in the second half. But when they had that, when Fotheringham made the save, that's when I started to think, this isn't going to go our way at all. I can see this going badly.
On the 48th minute, there was a great cross from Candias, opens up a chance for Dalziel, however, it was ruled offside or out of play. There wasn't any clarification on that one there.
Mm-hmm.
The 51st minute, it was a good cross in by Tavernier, but cleared out for the corner. Resultant corner headed well wide and over. 57th minute, I've put, there's good play in offside. I don't know what that meant.
Okay.
58th minute, there was a shot from Progress just over the bar. 58th minute again, just after that, Windass came on for Candias, and that's when really it all started to crumble.
Yeah, a bit of a strange substitution for me, Derek. Windass coming on, you know, I think we know that he has got ability there, but for games like that, I think we were needing, you know, a more sort of, maybe a more defensive type player at that point, just to sort of put your foot in the ball, calm things down, stop anything happening. I was actually quite shocked with the substitution that he made at that point, but on you go.
Yeah. We did have a couple of wee chances in the 61st minute. It was a great corner from Cranchar. Jack gets his head to the ball at the centre of the 6-yard box, right at the keeper, and it was an easy save. So it was a good effort, but you know, close but no cigar type thing.
Yep.
63rd minute, Nico had a great header off the bar. It was a great cross from the left wing from Wallace. Two at the back post, falls to Nico Cranchar, and he headed it off the bar. I think that's the one where it was going up above, was it not? It was.
Yeah, I think so, yep. Mm-hmm.
And then the world came crashing down. A minute later, Progress went 1-0 up. They had a shot, it went out for the corner, the resulting corner not dealt with. How often did that happen last year?
Yes, exactly.
Cross put in, attacker got in front of Bates, and he finished into the back of the net.
Yep.
68th minute, good play from Cranchar, taken out on the edge of the box. He was taken out on the edge of the box, resulting free kick over the bar by him. And then it was really game over on the 75th minute. Progray went 2-0 up. Free kick on the left side of the box. One bounce into the back of the net. Nobody even touched the ball from the resulting thing. I think it was, Windass gave away the free kick, I think.
Yeah.
And he also was to deal with the shoddy marking as well. So,
yep.
You know, a bit of a howler from him anyway.
Yes.
77th minute, Herrera came on for Rossiter. 85th minute, great cross from Tavernier. Windass headed the ball in the 6-yard box, and the keeper had a slight save onto the bar. He nearly made amends, but not quite. And 92nd minute, Miller had a shot off the bar. So he hit the bar three times, but at the end of the day, the stats rule off the bar or off the post is not on target. So, absolute disaster.
Yep. Are you ready, Derek?
Yeah.
Summed up there again by Morrissey. Absolute disaster, Derek. I mean, your commentary there of the game and your covering of the game made it look as if Rangers, you know, you know, played quite well, you know, and they had a lot of chances. But that setting match, Derek, to me, it was extremely one-dimensional from Rangers, in my opinion. It seemed to be that we would get the ball. I mean, in the first half, we had a lot of the ball. We seemed to get the ball in midfield, pass it about, play it out to the wings, then the winger would get tackled or nothing would seem to happen. And it just seemed to be like that. It seemed to be the same for the whole match. It was very much played as a training match, I felt, for Rangers. As you say, there was no urgency whatsoever. And it wasn't until Progress went 2-0 up that it was as if some of the players looked at each other and thought, shit, we really need to try and score here.
Yep.
And then it was urgency for the last 10 minutes, but then it was too late. Kenny Miller was very unlucky at the end with the shot that he had that hit the bar. And we did make some chances, Derek, but it wasn't, you know, pounding. We should have been pounding a team like that. And that was what got me the most. It was just the complete lack of urgency for the players. And you can people can sugarcoat it all they want. It was a very, very, it was a shocking result, like embarrassing, you know, result for us. But the performance was just more annoying. See if we'd have went out, Derek, and absolutely pummeled that team. And I mean pummeled them from start to finish. And we just couldn't score. You know, there was chances galore and we were really unlucky. But it wasn't like that. It was just a really, really poor showing by the team. And I think that's what's annoyed people the most. It was just so lackadaisical. It was unbelievable.
Well, I've kind of held a view for a long time, and this was under Warburton as well, that it's the players' attitudes that are quite clear for me that are letting this team down. Now, I'll cover this a wee bit more in depth in my next, when we get onto the news section about a player leaving, but, you know, a lot of people, you know, rightly or wrongly, was calling for Kashina's head after that game. Now, that's never going to happen. I mean, folk who were calling that, that's their opinion, they're entitled to it. But at the end of the day, the board have just, you know, got the manager in, they've allowed him to spend £10 odd million. There's no guarantee he's even finished yet. There's a plan in place. He's not going to get sacked. Absolutely. It was an incredibly pish fucking result. Incredibly pish performance. It was embarrassing. It was quite clearly one of the worst we've ever had. But at the same time, you're not going to get rid of the manager after that, are you? I would say, yeah, if that had happened and he's, you know, towards the end of the season and it was a result of a similar nature, absolutely. Yep. And performances were still that bad. But, you know, it's his first, you know, proper game with his team in charge.
I am going to try and play devil's advocate here, Derek. I'm not sure about the guy at all. I really am. I'm not going to be stupid and say, oh, he should definitely be sacked. But I've looked over since he's taken charge, and I know you keep hearing this about, oh, it's not his own players, it's not his own team, but since he's taken over, Derek, has there been any improvement in the team, do you think, since he's taken over? Has there been, you know, the game at Pittodrie, you know, was pretty even Steven, and then in the last, you know, 10 minutes we scored 3 goals, you know, in the last 10 minutes. That was, you know, his best result so far. But going by, there has been no consistency since he's came in. We've had a couple of alright performances, we've had some shocking performances, and then we've had a you know, a great result against Aberdeen, and then, you know, some pretty poor displays, and then going in to this, you know, this game and the pre-season games so far have been absolutely shocking. For me, I'm just worried there doesn't seem to be any clear improvement. Or if, tell me please, if you think I'm talking shite, I'm missing something, but I'm not seeing any improvement. And I'm not going to, you know, say for the guy, he needs to go. I said last season, the guy, he needs time, he needs his own team. And he's getting his own team, and only time will tell. But I am just worried at the moment, Derek, that there doesn't seem to be any improvement at all under him with his tactics, with his way he's got the team playing and stuff like that. do you feel the same way, or do you see a definite improvement in the team since he's came in?
I would agree with it to the extent that there's not been the usual spike in play like there normally is when a new manager comes in.
Yep.
However, if you look at the way he was playing his team selections ever since he'd taken over, especially towards the end, we can only really judge him so far on, obviously, the games he came in at the end of last season and the progress games, absolutely. Because see the pre-season friendlies, people doing their dinger in about pre-season friendly results, that's just fucking nonsense, that. But if you look at the way he was setting up his teams, he was changing players, he was playing people in different positions, it's almost as if internally he's kind of said to the team, right, we're writing off the last season, we're going to do a bit of experimentation, we're going to play in this position just to see who I want to keep at the end of the day. And if you don't play, we're getting rid of you, which is obviously what he's done. So has he taken the view for the end of last year as, right, this is an experiment stage, we're not going to get, but we'll try and get second, but the chances are we're not going to get it. As long as we get third and Europe, that's quite happy. We'll do a wee bit of experiment.
Right, okay.
That's the way I think that the way it's maybe went down. But again, we're not privy to the conversations. Yep. You know, it's one of these things as well, and I was talking about player attitudes. You've still got a majority of the players that were signed under Warburton there. And as I said, I think there's a big attitude thing. And with the likes of Windass coming on in that progress game, and his first thing was, oh, I'm going to sort my hair. You know, fuck mm-hmm. that.
But Derek, that, me and you sitting, looking at the game the way it was panning out, we're drawing 0-0 against this team. That's enough to get us through, but we're not playing well. We need somebody to come in to sit in the midfield and basically stop them coming forward, somebody to put their foot in the ball and calm everything down. Windass isn't the man to do that, and that's when the questions come in with the manager. What was he trying to get out of Windass to come on? Was he looking for us to score a goal? Was he, you know, trying to get us to go forward? It's strange decisions like that. And again, going back to my initial question, which you've no answered, you've been like a politician there, Derek, and sort of sideswerved it. Do you think there is any progression since he's came in? Do you think we're any better than we were when he, you know, before he came in?
Short of giving you a yes or no answer, I did answer the question, but no, I would have said
no.
But it's not as simple as a yes and no question, because if he's done what I think he's done, then in terms of use the end of last season as a test to see who he wants to get, then quite rightly there's not going to be a vast improvement. And as I said, you can't polish a turd. And I genuinely think a lot of these players are like turds, and that's what the reason why we haven't seen any spike in improvement when the new managers came in or as yet. Because look at the starting lineup of that second leg. There was seven players. Granted, yes, Miller played well last year, Fotheringham played well last year. Rossiter and Cranchar were both signed by Warburton, but yeah, they were out injured.
Well, Ryan Jack was playing in midfield, and I've not been impressed with him so far in the two games that I've watched him.
I think he played well in the first game. He was very good. He controlled that midfield, and that was the problem. That was the problem with the first game. Yeah, the second half was pretty poor and pedestrian, but we still controlled the game and never looked like losing. Had we had maybe pushed out a wee bit and maybe tried to score, we wouldn't be talking about this now. But you look at that, going back to my point about this second leg. You had Fotheringham, Tavernier, Cardoso, Bates, Wallace, Jack, Rossiter, Miller, Cranchar, Candias and Morelos. There was four players of the eight, nine players that he's brought in that were only his players. The rest of them were either signed under Warburton or played under Warburton. What does that tell you to me? That's what the one thing I said to my mates after the game. We had seven of the 11 players worked under Warburton. That's not a new team.
Right, here's another question for you then. When Graham Murray was put in charge of those same players, I feel personally that those players who had not been performing all season did raise their game when Murty was put in charge. And I don't know if it was because he concentrated more on defence of the team rather than the midfield and made us a lot more watertight at the back. But I feel that going in the short period that Murty was in charge, that we showed more progression than we have with Caixinha. And as I say, Derek, I'm no going to be calling for his head. I'm going to give him time and I'm hoping that everything works out. But I'm going by what I've seen, and I feel that Graham Murty, who I didn't want, I wouldn't want him to be the manager full time, but I just feel that he got more out of the players, out of those same players, than what the new manager has. But again, only time is going to tell what's going to happen there. I hope he turns it round. I'm hoping that all these players that we've signed are going to, you know, turn out to be fantastic buys. But at this moment in time, I am not convinced.
Right. I mean, it's academic talking about it now, because he's not going to be going, you know, he's not going to get sacked. Yep. And if he walks, then that's really up to him and the board. But
I don't think he's the type of guy that will, Derek. I think he's got, the way he's talking, the way, I think he has the idea in his head as to how he wants his team to play. And I think he wants to see it through, which is great. I just wish we could see a wee glimpse, Derek, of something, a wee glimpse of, we can definitely see an improvement in the team there. We can definitely see that, but so far to me, it's not happened. And I know what you're saying about pre-season friendlies and the closed doors games that we've been playing. You can't really take anything into that. But see, even if we'd had one pre-season closed door game that we'd won 3 or 4-0 against a half decent team, I think that would settle a lot of people down. I think they would say, "Oh, aye, well, they've obviously played well in that game." But so far, it's not happened. And he's got two big games, pre-season friendlies coming up. He's got a big game on Saturday against Marseille, and regardless, again, the team will be under the spotlight big time as to how they play on Saturday. And again, they're playing away at Sheffield Wednesday, which I'm sure you'll talk about as well.
But again, I really don't understand why people get their tits in a fucking fankle over results in of a pre-season friendly.
Because they're looking for a wee glimmer of light, Derek. Something.
But you don't get a glimmer of light in a pre-season friendly. You don't get that. It's all about getting match fitness and, you know, getting a gelling and another understanding of your team together. It's never about results. And
it's all to do with excitement, though. It's all to do with, you know, there'll be people who'll be paying good money to go and watch all the new signings, and you know, everybody wants to see a good performance. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It means these games mean nothing, but the fans are looking for a wee glimmer of light for somewhere to say to themselves, "Oh well, I'm really going to look forward to seeing him next season, because seeing that friendly was outstanding. I'm really looking forward to him going to play. Oh, I'm sure he's going to score a lot of goals next season, or see him. He's absolutely rock solid.
Yeah, but
it's not going to be much as it's going to get past him. But we've not seen any of that so far.
But there was a season a couple of years ago where we had played great in the pre-season, but then absolute pish in the real life stuff. Because you look at, oh yeah, he played great in that game, but your opposition is not going to be given 100%, are they? Because they're not wanting to get injured for the up and coming season. So I would much rather have a shit pre-season that they get gelled together, and then you start getting better throughout the league, rather than a great bloody, you know, pre-season against half-hearted opposition, and then, you know, being utter shit in the league.
I'm not talking about like having a great pre-season, though. I'm just looking for, you know, something to cling on to at the start of the season that people would say, "Oh, I'm really looking forward to this season." But right now, all we can see for everybody is, "Oh God, this is going to be a nightmare." That's all we're reading.
because that is, one, the media, and two, that is Rangers fans' expectations.
Yes.
And this is where it's incredibly wrong from our Rangers fans, and I've said it before, our expectations were for last year were always based on that semi-final, and that got blown out the water because Celtic were much better than we give them any credit for. Right, on the back of, obviously, the defeat against Nidicon, you know, we're quite rightly getting pilloried from right, left and centre, but at the same time, there was a lot of false truths out there. One picture came out after the game, and it looked as if like Pedro was having a go at the fans outside the ground. However, I said to someone, you know, you didn't know what's happened, you know, before that. You don't know what's been said or anything. There was a picture that came out, you know, about 5-10 minutes later. It was the other side of that exact same picture from looking into the fans, and he was actually going out to shake fans' hands, and everything was all quite, you know, nice. However, the team bus was kind of rounded up by our fans as they were leaving, hammering on the bus and shouting it's a disgrace and all that kind of thing, kind of understandably. Liam Kelly, the substitute, or the third goalkeeper, put on Snapchat, "Can you let us out the bus without fucking hammering on it?" And he's later apologised for it. Dean Windass is fast becoming a complete arsehole. He's no letting his son deal with his own battles. You know, again, going on Twitter and getting into spats with fans trying to defend his son. His son, you know, fucked up in the game, basically. He's got to take the stick when it's coming to him. You can't let your daddy fight your own battles all the time. And then Barry Ferguson, this is the biggest, stupidest thing. You know, he's like Ali McCoys, as a player, will always be respected, always be a legend. However, as a person in the media, a complete arse. He came out and stated that Pedro is a month to save his job, but the problem was there's no competitive games in that month. So
the whole thing with Barry Ferguson is, Derek, is I think he's still raging that he's got nothing to do with Rangers at the moment. I think he thought himself it was a stick-on to get one of the coach's job or the assistant manager's job or whatever. He didn't get it. I think he's rather bitter about that, and he's now writing for a certain newspaper, which I'm sure you'll get into later on as well. And he's doing himself no favours, Ferguson, to be fair to him. You know, a guy who's an absolute legend for the club, phenomenal player, a great captain. He's doing himself no favours, and there's sometimes some of the stuff that he puts in there is quite baffling. You know, it seems to be that he doesn't do any sort of support of the club at all when he's writing for that newspaper, which doesn't surprise me in the slightest, but as you say, it's some of the stuff he's been writing has been pretty shocking and pretty stupid, as you say, for him to say he's got a month to go and there's no any actual competitive games is quite laughable. But
And Jordan Rossiter came out after the game and done an interview, profusely apologising. He spoke extremely well, and he acted like the captain of the team.
Yes. Which, question. Yeah. Where was the captain at that point?
Exactly. I mean, as all that's been said, we've kind of discussed it. Other podcasts have discussed it. I'm sorry, but Lee Wallace is not the captain on the pitch.
I don't know what happens, you know, behind the scenes, Derek, if he's, you know, he's great with the players and stuff like that. You know, we all love the guy because he did stick with us through thick and thin. He could quite easily have moved on, but I think it's coming quite glaring that certainly on the pitch he doesn't seem to be the leader on the pitch, and the fact that the youngest player in the team came out and spoke to the media, and as you say, I was really pleased with some of the stuff he said. He was totally embarrassed, totally apologetic for the way the team had played, and he genuinely looked gutted, the guy, and looked quite shocked as well. So there's a lot of talk about Alves coming in, what's going to happen there. Maybe it'd be the making of Lee Wallace, Derek, for him to no longer be the captain. It would maybe sort of, you know, take a bit of responsibility off him and let him just concentrate on the playing side of things, because we need him to be his best now on the park. So I don't know if that's the answer or not, but it's certainly going by what we've seen. He's not looking as if he's the leader that we're wanting him to be.
No, I mean, the problem now comes is, who do you want to be captain? Because you know, a lot of people have been calling for Alves to be captain, yep, because he's previous experience it, but the guy's what, 36. He's on a 2-year deal. It's not a long-term thing. You know, Rossiter spoke like a captain, but, you know, can he stay fit? you know, Kenny Miller, he's a vice captain, he's a stick, he should be a stick on, but he's only got another year to go, and I doubt he's going to get another contract out of this. You know, Ryan Jack is maybe the most obvious one. He plays in the centre of the park, and, you know, obviously previous successful Aberdeen captain. However, you know, given the fact that we've got a glut of midfielders, you know, in the centre midfield anyway, you know, is he the one that's going to be playing week in, week out? We don't know, so it's a hit and miss there. I mean, I thought the boy Hodgson came in and done a good job when Wallace was out. You know, so is it going to be even a case where Wallace is going to keep his position?
You've missed out as well a player that we've signed since then and Graham Dorans, who I think, apart from Alves, is, you know, he's a, in my opinion, that's the type of guy that you'd want, extremely experienced, you know, Rangers daft, coming into the team. I'll be shocked if the guy doesn't make a huge improvement to us. That's the guy that I would be looking for captain, if not Alves. But as you say, good point, Alves is only there on a 2-year contract, and after that you don't know. But if it was up to you, would you take the captaincy off Wallace?
I mean, based on what we've seen over the last couple of years, yeah. Because he certainly does. It's not just for the fact that we're not playing well. It's the fact that you look at his body language when he is playing, and when somebody makes a mistake, or he's not like your Barry Ferguson or Richard Goff, where they get on top of them and they try and give them either one a bollocking or two words of encouragement. You just don't see that with him. And I've always thought somebody, you know, it should be the centre mid or centre defence that is the captain, because any other position you're not effectively communicating to the rest of the players. Remember when Klaus was captain, how could he effectively communicate to an attacker? He couldn't, you know. So it has to be in that centre back or centre mid position for me.
Yeah. Well, only time will tell on that one, Derek, what actually happens, but certainly Dorans would get my vote just now, but we've not even spoke about him yet, Derek, so... No,
that was... You always wreck my bloody playlist I've got going here. Because as you already said, we do have up and coming games. Sunday the 30th of July, Sheffield, Wednesday at Hillsborough again.
Yep.
Certainly we've got our full allocation already sold out, and we're looking to try and get more. So certainly they're more than welcoming for us again. And the one on this Saturday coming up, it's at home to Marseille. I'm not going to the game because I never signed up for the friendlies, to be honest. And I know people, there's twos and fours for it. £15 for the friendly, I thought, was a wee bit much. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's, if people want to pay that, that's fine. I've seen somebody on Twitter, you know, absolutely slamming people for having a go at the ticket prices. Well, you know, it's not just about that. You know, we pay our season tickets, we go to other games, we pay for other things like Rangers Lotto, you know, RTV and things. We can't afford to go to every single game. And I thought £15 was a wee bit too much for the friendly, but that was just me.
Okay.
Just in terms of pre-season games so far, we've had a couple other pre-season friendlies. Monday the 10th of July, it was a 2-1 win against Kilmarnock, closed doors at Auchinhowie. I've not watched the games, but certainly this one, it was Doran's playing his first game, and he apparently ran the show from what I was hearing, but 1-2-1 anyway. And Tuesday the 1st of July, it was another closed doors game at Auchinhowie. It was a 1-0 loss to St Johnson. Reports say we played pretty well, but it was the usual story of nothing up front. It seems to be a feature of the last 2 years. Goal conceded was very poor. It was really straight out of the Warburton playbook, with Alnick fanning about with the ball at the back, tried to pass it out. The defender never had the greatest of touches, but he was put under pressure anyway by a shit outfield pass by the keeper. The St Johnson player got it and lobbed it over the keeper. So
The player that scored the winner for them,
it was
Colin Hendry's son.
Yes, it was that.
Yep.
And Nico Cranchar as well, he got ordered off the pitch for shouting at the ref after a bad challenge went in against them. However, no red card was shown, so I don't know what it was all about, to be honest, but we'll let that one go anyway.
Yeah.
On the run-up as well, going into the actual season, we did cover it last with a podcast. However, a couple of changes, I think. We've got the first game of the season moved to Sunday the 6th of August. That's away to Motherwell at 1:30. I believe that's on TV.
Okay.
And Saturday the 12th of August at home to Hibs, 3 o'clock yep. kickoff.
Saturday, that is a game that I will be attending.
Yep,
that'll be my first game of the season. Good. I'm going to be getting tickets for me and my boy and possibly my brother as well, because I was talking to him about it. But I'm definitely off on that Saturday, so the tickets for that I was looking today go on sale on the 24th of this month. So as soon as they go on sale, I will be going to that game. So I think that will be a cracker against Hibs at Ibrox. I think the atmosphere will be fantastic.
Yep, and then we play at home to the other half of Edinburgh the next weekend, Saturday the 19th of August at home to Hearts, and then rounding out the month, Sunday the 27th of August away to Ross County.
Yep. Now, those four games, Derek, I think the manager, he's got a lot of pressure on him just now. But on paper, certainly the two away games for us, considering we never bloody beat Ross County last season, did we? On paper, those are certainly four winnable matches for us, but the team really need to get a good start away at Motherwell first and then build for there. But they're certainly, on paper, they're winnable matches. I just hope that they can actually do it.
I just think there's, as I said to you before, already there's too much pressure on them, and it's coming not from outside sources, it's coming from our own fans. And you could argue, yeah, that's right, we need to kind of start winning. But you look at, you know, other results, like you take, you know, the first game against Motherwell as our, you know, his game one, because that's what you need to do effectively. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, you look at the Advocaz first year, you know, he started off pretty ropey. We ended up winning the treble, you know. So I'm not going to say that's going to happen, but you need to judge these things at the end of the season. You know, you can't say after four games.
I was at the Advocats' first game. It was at Tynecastle, Derek, away from home, and we got beat. But we played really well in the game, and we should never have got beat. And that, for me, I said to myself, oh, well, that'll not happen, because we should have won that game. If it happens like that, and Rangers play really, really well, but we get beat, I can accept that. You know what I mean? But as I say, we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah. Right, we'll move on now, and we will go into the Blue Room. Right, a few things to talk about here. Obviously, the big one is the Supreme Court tax case ruled that EBTs were perfectly legal, however, should have been taxed. Really the usual. So, effectively, it meant the BDO has lost the Supreme case. All it really means is that, I mean, we don't want to really rehash something that has already been done to death. But really, all that really means was the fact that we should have paid tax on the EBTs. No more, no less. It's got the usual suspects foaming at the gash over this.
Yeah.
You know, Celtic have instantly issued a statement saying they wanted, effectively, without saying as much, they want the title stripped.
It was a stupid statement to make, Derek. I kind of saw it as a, we've seen the ruling, there's no really much that we can do about it, but to appease our fans, we're basically saying that we want something done about it, but no really saying what it was that they were wanting to do. I thought it was a really baffling statement by them, and they were going to be seeking legal advice on it as well. But again, if they hadn't have said anything there, hordes of their supporters would have been going absolutely daft about it. So I thought it was a strange, strange statement that they put out, but I'll let you go on with what you thought about it.
Yeah. Much the same as you. I was just baffling, and why did they have to even make a statement? It was nothing really, you know, to do with them, effectively. Aberdeen fans, you know, they've, you know, are just complete idiots, you know, really. They were raging for some weird reason, because I don't think any of the titles that were involved had anything to do with them in the first place. They've got a bit of a cheek as well, because they were saved twice from relegation by the stupid 10,000-seater rule.
Yep.
So they've got a cheek to talk about sporting integrity. SFA, you know, give them their credit. They instantly as well came out with a statement saying that they've sought legal advice. They've been told that a case would be highly likely to be unsuccessful, and in any case, any punishments they could issue out would not justify taking it any further anyway. The SPFL apparently are still looking into it. Now, as that's been kind of highlighted by Heart and Had podcast, it's not a case that SFA are not doing anything about it. It's a case of they've already checked if they can do something about it or not, and they've been told legally they've got nowhere to stand. So
yep.
if they wanted to do something and they could have, they would have done it already. So, you know, it's not going to go any further than that. And no matter what anybody else says, it's not going to go any further. What I want to know as well, though, is they've kind of the way they've went about it, all these people who hate us and want our title stripped, they keep going on and about they want the title stripped, they want any trophy we won stripped. Well, why not base their campaign of hate on we want every result voided that they used players who had EBTs? Because that would be the actual fair thing to do if there was any more punishments to read out, not just stripping the titles. So effectively, every result should be wiped out from us then, not just the titles. So even their argument in the first place is nonsensical, because they're not going after what would be the fair thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. Aye, it's bizarre. And I mean, there was even talk for, not a lot of them, Derek, but there was even talk from Kilmarnock fans saying that they were cheated out of European money. And I think the whole time, I think they only qualified for Europe twice or something like that when it was there. So it's incredible. I know that there is a very low percent of mad fans out there who are obsessed with our club, and they'll keep it going, and we'll keep being called all the cheats under the sun, Derek. But it's now getting quite tiresome, and I'm really not that bothered about them anymore. It was bad, in the first sort of week, but it's still going, and it's laughable and really childish for quite a lot of them out there, and they don't want to actually accept the truth as to what actually happened. They basically just see you cheated, we want your titles end of, and the SFA have gone over it, but there's nobody willing to say that, and look at it, rationally, which is incredible. The thing that's been getting me, though, is the media response to it as well has been quite incredible also, Derek, but again, by the usual suspects out there, and I'm sure you're going to say a wee bit about a certain section of the media that Club 1872 have been talking about.
I'll get into that in a minute, but I mean, there's nobody calling for Lionel Messi to be stripped of any of his accolades after he's been found guilty of tax fraud, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It had a 21-month jail sentence attached to it. However, they've basically foregone that, and he has to pay less than £250,000 on a tax fraud of £3.6 million. Yeah. Nobody's calling for him to be stripped of anything. So just goes to show you that's an illegal thing he done, and he's been found guilty of, yet nothing. So
incredible. I know.
Dave King issued a very strong statement in his capacity as a previous board member, not as a chairman. Mm-hmm. Really firmly put Celtic and the media right in their place, and put the blame firmly on David Murray. It was a very levelled and dignified yet hard-hitting statement. Just on the fact of David Murray, he's fucked us twice over. He really has, hasn't he?
Yeah, we had a fair idea after the revelations that came out from the BBC's wee documentary that they did and the interview with Alistair Johnson, but it really does look as if he has done a number on us big time, Derek.
It's more the case that when you're using these things, surely, I mean, yes, I fully accept he's probably taken some sort of financial advice. They've told him this, that and the other. But surely, he knew this. And that was the whole reason for him selling up, was the big tax case, because he could have been levelled with the debt. Mm-hmm. The irony in the whole situation, though, is had it not been for the actions of Craig White and Charles Green, we would be looking at liquidation now, as in the company. Mm-hmm. So Craig White, he kind of came out after the result, and he kind of, I hate to say, but correctly says, you were looking at Rangers were looking at liquidation either any way you looked at it, weren't you?
Right, okay. I'm still trying to get my head round the, you know,
the progress result.
The whole thing has been a mess, and you know, it now looks as if it's been, I don't want to use the word masterminded, Derek, but I can't really think of anything else from David Murray. You know, right from the beginning, as you say, he's bailed out, he's managed to save his company at the expense of us, and you know, we've had to suffer that for the last, you know, 6 years. It's been quite incredible, and it's taken that long for, you know, us to get any type of information like that to come out. It's incredible. Really is.
On your point about Club 1872, they issued a very strong statement saying that they'll go after anyone who tries to take our titles, and also said they will make sure they uncover and go after anyone with any irregularities in the last 50 years. I think that was firmly directed at one club in particular.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they also released a statement slamming the campaign by the Daily Record and three of its senior staff members that they've got against Rangers. They're all non-Rangers fans. They're all Aberdeen, Celtic and Dundee United fans, the three clubs who are wanting to boycott, you know, or wanting us, our title stripped. And we are, you know, they've called for all Rangers fans to boycott the Daily Record. Quite rightly so. I mean, I've taken the Daily Record off our Twitter. Yep. Don't go to their sites anymore. So.
No, I'm the same. Exactly. Well, Derek, to be fair, I've been like that for quite some time. I've had a hatred of that newspaper for quite a few years now. I've told you before, my mother, for years and years and years, bought the Daily Record on a daily basis. And it's, you know, when you get to a certain age, like what my mother is, she's a creature of habit, and she was still going out and buying the newspaper up until recently, till I basically told her, look, just dinna do it, go and buy a completely different newspaper as well, because I was getting annoyed that even she was buying it. Some of the stuff in it is incredible. It is totally, their agenda is totally against us. I don't care what anybody says, I've been saying it for a long time. They are completely toxic when it comes to our club, and they will try anything that they can to put a negative story in about us or about our supporters whenever they can.
Yep, they certainly will. Last piece of boardroom news here is Stuart Robertson is making a bid to get back on the SPFL board again. This is apparently the third time he's done it. The last time he was in the running and they pulled out for unknown reasons. Mm-hmm. And an interesting thing here is Peter Lywell is not running for re-election. So
yeah, that's correct. Now, the cynic in me tells me that possibly, and I hope I'm wrong, but possibly has something to do with
a conflict of interest.
Exactly, yeah. So it's, you know, here's hoping that we do have a representative on there. It's long overdue. And again, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But hopefully that if Stuart Robertson does get in, then it's going to be, you know, the better for us and give us a better voice as well. So we'll just have to wait and see on that one.
I mean, I don't understand the whole SPFL board thing. I mean, for me, it should be every year re-elections, and it's each club put up their own representative, and the board is consistent of 12 members of the 12, you know, clubs in the Premier Division. So I don't know how it works, but, you know, certainly, you know, for Rangers to be outcast for all this time for the main league, I mean, regardless of what any other club says, Scottish football is Rangers and Celtic. You know, it has been for, you know, a number of years. It will be forevermore. So it's, you know, a bit baffling the way the Scottish football is structured, but that's the way they do it. So, right, we will move on now and we will go to the classic match.
Manchester, brace yourself. Rangers are coming!
Right, Dave, what have you got for us this week?
I have gone back in time to the year 2000, Derek. Let's all meet up in the year 2000. Dick Advocaat was in charge. The date was the 5th of August 2000, and it was an away trip to Kilmarnock. Now, chose this game, Derek. I chose it because we started off very poorly in the match and basically came back, played well and ended up winning the game in the end. Now, Rangers on that day, their starting 11 was Stefan Kloss in goals, a back four of Sergio Perini,
Lorenzo Amoruso, Bert Contamin and Fernando Rixon. Into midfield, Van Bronckhorst, Ferguson, Reyna and Neil McCann. And up front, Wallace and Billy Dodds. Now, it was a new signing. It was Bert Contamin, I believe it was his first season at playing in the centre of defence. And I think this was what sort of got Dick Advocaat to move him forward to play in that sort of defensive midfield role, because when he was in defence to start off with, he was very, very shaky, Derek, and this game sort of shows it. Now, right at the start of the match, there was no really any clear-cut chances, a lot of interplay by Rangers, Kilmarnock as well, but then 4th and 5th minute.
Well, that's a penalty kick, yes. No question, Contamin really taken on in the outside by Andy McLaren, the man we mentioned right at the start. Penalty kick, no complaints, as he keeps the right leg trailing.
Kilmarnock's sort of key player at that point was Andy McLaren. I don't know if you remember him or not, Derek. A very good player. I think he could have gone on to do a lot more, but he had a lot of bad injuries in his career. But Andy McLaren sort of ran through towards Bert Contamin, skipped past him, and big Bert with his long legs, a really sort of lazy, sort of dodgy tackle on him, very clumsy, brings him down. The referee points straight to the spot. It was a clear penalty by Contamin. I don't know what he was thinking, because McLaren was on the outside of the box. He wasn't going to, you know, be able to cut inside or anything. So a really sort of clumsy tackle there by Contamin, and McLaren stepped up himself and buried that to make it 1-0 to Kilmarnock.
I talked about rehabilitation. This will take him a stride forward. Yes, carry a one up.
Rangers all over the place at that point, didn't look as if they were doing anything, really struggling. Again, straight in the attack again, Kilmarnock, they sort of targeted Contamin as being the sort of man to put pressure, and they put a great cross in, and Contamin sort of jumped up and the ball gone off the back of his head and just went past our post, just past Kloss. We all thought at that point it was an own goal. We weren't playing well at all. And then Kilmarnock got the corner, and I ended up with shot just wide. They were all over the place. And then on the 10th minute, it got worse for us.
Clarin again. Great run forward by the lad. And it's him again. His second goal. Quite astonishingly, the Rangers defence ripped apart right down the middle. But what an astute run by Andy McLaren.
There was a long ball played by Kilmarnock into Andy McLaren again, and he basically just picked up the ball, ran straight forward and hit a low shot under Stefan Kloss, and it bounced up into the goal to make it 2-0 to Kilmarnock. So all over the place, Derek, not playing well at all. And again, it was like that for the next sort of 20 minutes. Kilmarnock had all the ball, they had all the possession. Rangers really weren't doing anything at all. And then we had a very rare attack, and Rod Wallace was brought down in the edge of the box, the free kick. Now, George Alberts wasn't playing that game, so it was up to Big Ammo, but his shot blasted against the wall, nothing at all. And then, 31st minute, we had a cross into the box by Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, and Rod Wallace with a header. Now, that had been our best chance. Had a header just over the bar. That was the best chance for us of the game, and that was in the 31st minute. Now, this was the turning point in the game after this, because Kilmarnock actually got a man sent off.
Played that well to Ferguson. Van Bronckhorst on towards Wallace. And I think he's already been booked. Now, that is a bookable offence. Nobody wants to see a player sent off in any game, but look at that. That is a yellow card, and really, I think he's very fortunate to stay on. It would have been a terrible blow to Kilmarnock, but I think the referee has been very charitable. Or is he changing his mind? Yes, he is off. Harsh as it would be in terms of the way that Kilmarnock have had superiority, it was technically just.
If it was a second yellow card that was picked up by their defender, it was a clear foul as well. It was a stupid tackle by him, and Kilmarnock were reduced to 10 men at that point, and that really was the turning point, because Neil McCann, just before half-time, he had been the sort of our best player. He was causing all the problems. So just a minute before half-time,
McCann, lovely little turn, goes on the outside, and it's a penalty kick. Tubert tried to take him on the outside, and the referee, Tom Brown, points to the penalty spot.
Neil McCann gets the ball, the right-hand side of the box, a fantastic turn, skips past his man, defender slides in, takes McCann out, not the ball, clear penalty, Rangers had a lifeline.
So Billy Dodds, there it goes, Rangers have pulled themselves back.
Billy Dodds stepped up, fires in to make it 2-1 to Kilmarnock at half-time, so the lifeline was there just before half-time. Now again, as I said, we weren't playing that great at all, we weren't using the full-backs well in that match, so there was a substitution at half-time, and Andre Kanchelskis was brought on for Fernando Rixon at that point. The start of the second half, Rangers came out all guns blazing, Neil McCann was playing well, runs past, skips past two players on the left wing, puts the cross in, great save by the goalkeeper. Pressure was piling on. Barry Ferguson had a shot for the edge of the box, which Gordon Marshall and goals for Kilmarnock managed to save as well. Then there was a double substitution after that, really going for it. Kenny Miller, a very young Kenny Miller who'd just been signed, came on, and along with two guys, they came on for Sergio Perini and Rod Wallace. And a substitution for Kilmarnock at that point, and it was of Super Ali McCoist that came on at that point, Derek, playing for Kilmarnock, and it just showed you, because the first touch that McCoist gets, he takes it past Bert Conterman in one side, and then skips past Lorenzo Amoruso on the other side and has a shot for the edge of the box. The ball just goes wide. So, you know, Super Ali was out to try and score against us at that point. But it was too late. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst then had a fantastic play on the left-hand side. Lorenzo Amoruso comes bombing up on the left-hand side. Plays a 1-2 to Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. Hits a fantastic save. Saved by the goalkeeper out for a corner, and on the 75th minute from that very corner,
swept in better, and it's in for Billy Dodds again, would you believe? Well, I cannot stress enough what this man has done, despite all the talk about getting illustrious strikers to Ibrox. It's a rescue act again by this man.
It gets played in. Billy Dodds with a header, bang, makes it 2-2. A fantastic goal for Rangers to get them back in. Billy Dodds, the main man at that point. Really good poacher's instinct there from him, and a powerful header. Not the biggest of guys, Billy Dodds, but he made that ball his, and he made Kilmarnock pay. So in the 75th minute, that was 2-2, and there really was only going to be one winner at that point, because 2 minutes later,
Al Ferguson might want to go himself. He does. Tries to get in there. Miller's done it. The young sub puts Rangers ahead. His first real meaningful goal for the club. And Rangers now lead by 3-2, and no wonder they're hugging him.
Some great pass and play from Rangers. Barry Ferguson gets the ball on the edge of the box. He turned one guy, he twists another guy, he runs through on goals, hits a shot which we all thought he'd scored. Gordon Marshall, to be fair, gets a hand to it, but he can only rebound out to Kenny Miller, who fires the ball into the net to make it 3-2 to Rangers. Great substitution by Advocaat at that point. Kenny Miller coming on hungry, desperate to get a goal, and he got it. Then, right at the end of the match again, it was 4-2 for Rangers. They scored the fourth goal.
Surging forward again, this time McCann with it. It's not offside, and it should be. It is. Two guy does it. An intelligent run forward, and that puts it beyond any doubt. The Turkish player scored his first league goal.
Neil McCann gets the ball, two guy was behind him, two guy runs through, and McCann plays a fantastic chip ball right through into the middle. Two guy runs through, controls his ball, sidesteps the goalkeeper, takes another touch and fires it into the net to make it 4-2 to Rangers. That was two guys' first goal for the club as well, so superb goal for Rangers. So in the second half, it was a fantastic performance, a dreadful performance in the first half by Rangers. They were all over the place, but to be fair to the manager, he made the substitutions. They were the correct substitutions, and Rangers went on and actually won quite comfortable in the end. Don't know if you can remember it or not, Derek. It was a fantastic second half to sit and watch, and a couple of really good goals in there as well.
It's one of the games I actually vaguely remember watching, to be honest. I remember that McCoy's coming on and his chance.
Yeah. Yep.
Neil McCann was brilliant in the game.
Yep.
And Bert Conterman, well, he was just Bert Conterman without a blasting shot, wasn't he? So.
Well, again, I think Conterman turned out to be a no-bad player for Rangers when Advocaat saw sense and moved him into that sort of defensive midfielder role. I think he'd done a hell of a lot more for us than he did when he was in defence, and popped up with a few good goals for us in the end as well. So I'll no slag Big Bert. Don't think anybody really does slag him after he scored that winner against Celtic, but he was rather dodgy in his early career for Rangers playing in defence. But thankfully, in that match, they managed to turn it round. And again, I go back to it. It's just it was the perfect timing for the substitutes for Dick Advocaat. And what we would do to have players on the bench like two guy and a young, extremely fast Kenny Miller just now, Derek. But because two guy was just an absolute class act for us, and just unfortunate that we had a brilliant midfielder. He could have played a hell of a lot more games for us at the time.
Yep. So we'll move on now and we will go into the news.
From ITN, the ITV News at 10 with Trevor McDonald.
Right, a few bits and pieces to cover in the news here. Plans have been submitted for a new venue at Edmundston House.
Oh, right.
This is London King of Clubs, Piers Adam.
Oh, right. I did read about this, right. Okay.
Yes, this is the best man at Guy Ritchie's wedding. He's been involved in various kind of clubs down in London, and it's plans for to host weddings as a club, as a pub, as different stuff, and a general venue. So he's involved in the Copper Dog. He's got a company called Copper Dog Ibrox Limited, who are behind the bid, and he's the director at it. So certainly an interesting development, that one there. It's maybe not what all the fans want, because I thought we were always wanting a museum to go in there.
Yes.
Certainly, if it's going to be something that's going to get the club revenue, it will certainly get revenue, being what the plans are anyway. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Interesting development. As we've both alluded to, we did eventually sign Graham Dorns from Norwich for a reportedly £1.5 million.
Yep. I think it'll be a fantastic signing, Derek. I'm really looking forward to see him play. We got an inkling of it because his wife, I think, more than anything else, with the tweets that she was putting out, she certainly seems delighted about coming back to Scotland as well. And, really pleased for him that he's getting to fulfil his boyhood dream and play for his heroes. So that's the type of player we need, Derek. Someday, with a bit of class, we spoke about him in length in the last, in a couple of pods ago, and we're looking at the players that we were targeting. So I'm delighted that we've got him in.
Yep.
I'm really looking forward to see him play.
Yep. Next one here is we sold Barry Mackay to Notts Forest for a paltry £500,000. Bearing in mind, we did get the same for a 15-year-old for the development fee, which goes to show we shouldn't be selling our, potentially our best players for some stupid, amounts like that. Always been the case with us, we always overspend for players and we sell players for peanuts. Yes, he only had a year left in his contract and he wasn't signing a new deal, but it was still a really shit fee. he's came out in social media after that, you know, just saying that he was told that he was really surplus to requirements, so he really had no choice but to leave. And comments that came out today that no player should be treated the way he was treated, Kishina treated him very badly. I mean, he was on the bench and told to train harder. He wasn't in Guantanamo Bay, as somebody pointed out on Twitter. So a lot of people were upset, you know, I think I'm leaving. But at the same time, you've got to remember, when we were making our way back up in the third division, bearing in mind he was only 18, 19 at the time, he was sent out on loan for a year and a half solid. And that was after him playing fairly well for us when he first came into the team. I think for me that says it all. You wouldn't put, you know, you're sending him out on loan for a year and a half when he could have been easily playing in the first team, gaining that same experience.
Yeah.
So he blew hot and cold for me. He certainly has a lot of potential, but I think, as I was alluding to earlier, if that's the type of attitude the players have got at being told to sit on the bench or told to come in early to train harder, then that's the attitude problem I'm talking about we have at Ibrox now. Not the manager, the attitude problem of the previous players, I think.
It is a pity that he didn't get, you know, that he didn't stay and fight for his place, Derek, because I did think he was a very good player. And I thought that him and Lee Wallace had a fantastic understanding when, you know, the two of them were on their game. But, you know, he's away. He obviously wanted to go. He's, you know, the manager's, he wasn't in the manager's plans. He obviously didn't quite see, you know, fancy him for his team. It's just we've basically just got to, you know, accept it, Derek. It's true what you say. It wasn't a great fee considering we were quoting him, you know, last season at being, you know, a player worth about £4 and 5 million for him to go.
No, we weren't. It was the media that were quoting that, remember.
Yeah, well, I think he will do quite well down in England because I don't think the Championship is as good as everybody makes out. I think he will, he'll play quite well down there, and we'll just have to wait and see. But there's not really much more that we can say about him. As you say, he come away with the comments as well. You know, you would think a guy who had been with the club since he was a young boy, if he was told, you're right, if you want to stay here, you'll have to train harder, then he would have said, right, I'll do whatever it takes. But, you know, he's maybe seen the pound signs flashing as well. So I don't know what type of wages he'll be at. Doing in the Championship, he might be on a lot more than what he was with us at the moment. But it's just a pity the way it's ended up, Derek. But we'll just have to grin and bear it, I'm afraid.
Yep. Another player out is Matt Crooks. He's been sold to Northampton Town for an undisclosed fee. Certainly he, when the rumours when he was signing for us, you know, he was meant to be the better of the two, Windass and out, yeah. Windass and Crooks. And I've said before, I've heard from somebody who sat in the director's box, and, you know, even under Warburton, you know, he was meant to be diabolical even in training, so that's right. The reason why he went out. So not a great loss there. We never really seen much of him.
No, we didn't know, so we can't really comment on him to say if he was good or no, Derek, to be honest with you.
Next thing here, a bit of sad news. Johnny Hubbard, club legend, suffered a heart attack since we've done the last podcast. However, fortunately, he appears to be doing fairly well now.
Yep, excellent. Yeah.
So, all good health to him, hopefully.
Yep.
Next thing here is previous player Stephen Naismith gave an interview to the BBC Scotland. It was a good interview. He came across pretty well, apologised and said he made a mistake in what he said and the way he went about things. He kind of shifted the blame a wee bit, saying that he was, you know, they were advised different things by different lawyers and stuff like that. But certainly he did come across fairly well. And obviously that's been a rumour all summer.
Yeah,
is he going to be coming back?
Constantly, we're hearing it every day now, Derek, and we spoke about him before, so we'll not go over that again, but he's just a name that just keeps cropping up all the time. So
it's more the case of most fans with a sensible head would take him back, I would have said, but had we been playing well and everything was on the up, we would take him. So
exactly,
you've got to look at it in two ways. He'll be a dick until he scores the winner. You know, against Celtic or something like that. But,
exactly.
You know,
there's no doubting he's a quality player, Derek, and there's no doubting he would make a big improvement to our team just now. But
That's the only reason I would say that fans would want him back. And as you say, if the team was playing really well at the moment, scoring goals for fun, we would be saying, no chance, we're not wanting them. But we really can't be picky at the moment, Derek. So we'll just, it might not happen, but his name just keeps cropping up all the time, doesn't it?
Yep. Compare and contrast that to Whittaker, who's just signed for Hibs, who's came out and said he's no regrets.
Yeah.
Maybe that's because he's signed, already signed for a club and he's getting his money. He doesn't need to come out and say that, whereas Naismith maybe did. But bearing in mind, Naismith's still playing now. He's still signed for a club. So.
Yep.
Also, obviously, what's came out in the news as well, Kashina has put up a We Are The People banner in the tunnel at Ibrox, in and around different various places in Ibrox, Knockie and Howie, and he's banned green boots, as they are the colour of Celtic, and he's defending the culture of Rangers.
Right. I'm a baffling one with the boots anyway, Derek. I mean, that's just a, you know, that should have absolutely nothing to do with it. But again, the media have pounced on it, Derek. It's a, you know, a negative again. The guy can't really do much right, you know, in the media's eyes. You know, taking away the way that the team's been playing and all that. A bit of a baffling one there. But nobody, I think what's annoying a lot of the press and a lot of the rival fans out there is they can't turn around and say that this is a sectarian act with the manager considering what religion he is, you know. And I think they're all very annoyed about that, Derek, to be honest with you. So they're just putting it down to the fact that he's this crazy foreign guy that doesn't know, you know, have a clue what he's doing. So, but they, I think they're genuinely annoyed that they can't use the sectarian part there with the fact it's his decision, you know.
Yep. Next thing here, the last piece of football news is Paolo Vanoli, former player, has joined the backroom staff at Chelsea.
Yes. See, to be honest with you, Derek, I can't really mind much about him. Paolo Vanoli, I can't really tell you if he was any good or no, because I can't remember much about him. So maybe for him being a defender, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I can't really remember him having any howlers for us, but I can't remember him playing absolutely fantastic for us either. So he must have been, you know, all right. I don't know if you... He's one of these players that I just sort of skip. You know, I can't really remember much about. Can you?
No, I can't remember. I do remember the name and being a defender, and that's about
it. You know, he was a fullback, but that was about it. I can't really remember him, you know, contributing much, but at the same time, I can't remember slagging the guy off and saying that he was terrible. So, you know, for a defender, that's always good, but good luck to him anyway. You know, going up, it's a fantastic move for him, and, you know, working alongside Conte at the moment, who's one of the best man, you know, coaches in the world. So, fantastic stuff for him.
Yep. So, moving on here, I do have a whole host of things, but given the fact that we're running quite late along, I will only pick the best couple.
The headline here is... That's the way that you start to talk when you have to do these headlines. You sound like a total perv when you do. On you go.
Grot dog. Waitress caught putting hot dog up her vagina before apparently serving it to a customer.
Hey, here you go.
CCTV footage shows what appears to be a waitress alone in the kitchen after a chef has made a hot dog. But what happens next is shocking. After another colleague leaves, she can be seen clearly taking the sausage out of the bun, then pushing it into her vagina. The unverified video has appeared on LiveLeak but offers very little explanation, prompting to wonder if it's real.
See, to be fair, Derek, I ken some guys that would be quite happy to eat that hot dog.
They also refer to it as a tasteless stunt. Well, I don't know.
Is that rhyming slang?
I don't know. Next one. Man undergoes surgery to remove 7-inch chopstick from his penis. The man was too shy.
What? Derek, what is the explanation for this, man? Come on. You need to give me an explanation for this.
The man was too shy to go to the doctor about blood in his urine. and disastrously took matters into his own hands by using the implements in a bid to rectify the problem. I don't know why
you
would.
As you would.
The man inserted chopsticks into his urethra, but stuck them in too far and he couldn't remove them. Doctors successfully removed them after he took himself to hospital with an embarrassing problem.
And but at the end of the day, Derek, did it clear the blood in the urine?
Well, I don't know.
But if that is, you know, the way he was, why even think that that would stop it from happening?
American Airlines plane evacuated after farting passenger causes a stink. People had to leave the aircraft due to foul-smelling odour, with the airline later blaming a mechanical error for the problem and denying a passenger had been let in rip. That sounds Derek, like one of our colleagues, doesn't it?
I was going to say, Derek, what airline was it?
American.
American Airlines. And what year was this, Derek? I hope it was a few years ago and it was me that was flying on American Airlines flight, no?
No, that was done.
I thought you might have been doing that wee story that we covered with the boy that was shagging the...
Oh, no, because you spoiled it. That's why I put it on bloody line.
Did you not see what Ewan's response was? Is that no story about Graham Spears, you know, with the thing that's been called? Aye, very good.
Right, so that wraps up a very long episode of the iReady podcast.
I know it was. We've debated quite a bit, Derek, and it's just one of these things. It's been a very difficult 3 weeks, considering how you know how ecstatic we were about everything that happened with the retail deal. On that point, Derek, can I just say I want to thank a lot of our listeners and followers on Twitter, because I had guys in East Kilbride, I had a guy away up the north of Scotland, I had a guy down in England all checking various sports directs for a Rangers top for my wee boy, and at the end of the day, I was looking for an age 13. I couldn't get one anywhere. The only size that I could get was an age 14. And it turns out that after all this time, that an age 13 and 14 is exactly the same size, Derek. So that was speaking to at least, you know, the staff in the mega store at Ibrox and at least 6 or 7 different Sports Direct staff members. And not one of them told me that when I asked if they had any age 13s. They basically said, no, we've only got 14s. And then it turns out that it was exactly the same size. So he's got his strip anyway, Derek. That's the main thing. And he was wearing it. He was parading it about when we were down in Blackpool last week, just for when we went down with the family for a couple of days. And the one thing that I would like to say is Blackpool was basically royal blue, because it was just Rangers tops everywhere. So it's great to see, Derek. So that's the one thing. But as I say, it's been difficult the last few weeks, because we were on such a high and we were looking forward to the season so much, and then just that result in Europe has left us all flat and left a lot of people really angry and annoyed. So I just hope that we can turn it around now, and I do wish Pedro all the best. I know I've been saying that I'm not convinced in that, but I do wish him all the best, Derek. I hope he gets it right, and I hope all these players do turn it on, you know, and we get a really sort of positive start to the season, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yes. So, all that's left to say is check out our new website.
Oh, yep.
And check out our Twitter, and check out our Facebook, and check out our podcast.
Right, no bother, mate.
Right.
Take care.
Thanks a lot, everyone. Bye.
Cheers, bye.
She's my opposite. supporters, then we don't do walking away.
I'll let you get into that.
Yeah, I will get into it if I can find where I've put the bloody file.